The Father's calling. And we're looking here again at Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through to 19. Guys love strong things, things that are powerful. I know George Olson, he got tired of lifting weights. He got tired of lifting 1,000-pound weights, and so he decided to do something different. He decided he'd go out there and pull a bus with one hand. He had his girlfriend at the time in his early career walk over his stomach. Now, for some of us, that might be scary, but what he did was, I didn't say that quite the way I wanted to. I was talking about the guy's stomachs, ladies. I'm going to hear about this one. Anyways, he did it a little differently. He had his girlfriend ride a 9,000-pound elephant when she walked over his stomach. This guy went and he lifted 704 pounds with one finger. Quite a feat. But you know what is interesting? Here's a guy who actually attempted to pull a 10,300-ton ship, and he couldn't quite make it. The Guinness Book of World Records says you have to move something 10 meters. He could only move it 5 meters before he said his lungs felt like they were going to crush from just the weight and the strain on his body. This man here, what's he known for? He's known for his tender and gentle compassion to his son. There's another strong man, Paul Anderson. Paul Anderson passed on now, but he held 8 world records. In fact, he lifted 6,270 pounds with his back. And that's equivalent to lifting up 2 medium-sized cars back in the old days. Nowadays, I don't know what that would be classified. They're all so light and so economical. He is also known for something else. This man, he had a home for wayward boys. And he went all around the country telling people about Jesus Christ, but no more so than his life in that home, where he helped encourage boys and young men to grow strong, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually, to go out in the world. Many young lives were turned to Jesus Christ through that home and his heart. Men love things that are strong. We love things that are hard to do. We love challenges. What man here doesn't like to take apart an engine and when it goes together to actually hear it work, you know? Maybe to take metal and weld it together, to bang it so that that hard substance yields to that force and to create something brand new. What man is there in here that doesn't love to take a moment to stop and open a hard, sealed jar of pickles? And they will do everything in their power, even split a gut, literally develop a hernia, just so that they can show off and then walk away smiling in the process. There's something that we love to do. But I want to tell you something that's very important. There's nothing that can make us stronger than Jesus Christ in our lives. His love and His power working through us so that we can be strong each and every day. All of us can find strength in the Bible. And it promises us this in our daily lives. In the Bible today, it talks about Jesus starting His earthly ministry. And we see it here at the very beginning of the book of Mark. And Jesus says something so very simple. He comes up to the two men that he sees on the shore, and he says to them, "Follow me. Follow me." Why would they want to do this? And maybe the question should be, why should we want children to follow us? There's many reasons why we want to encourage people in their lives. I'm looking at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6 for a moment. In Proverbs 17 and verse 6, it tells us there, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. It's talking about a reciprocal thing that happens in our lives as we encourage children as they grow up, that one day they're going to be our crowning jewel in this world as they grow up and become the people that we have been encouraging them to be. And they're going to look at us and see us special. And they're going to be excited about their dads. And I say this, I know it's mothers, they're excited about you, but today we're honoring fathers. Now, one day they're going to look up and they will be very happy to see us. And we're going to feel like real fathers. But maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're not there yet, but don't give up in the midst of the battle. Because sometimes growing takes a very long time. Yes, they may have reached a certain height. They may have gained a certain weight. But listen, it takes longer sometimes to grow up and mature inside too. Sometimes it takes a long, long time. But being a dad, I want to encourage you, don't ever give up. Because what you've instilled in them will still come to blossom. It's like a plant in our lives. You plant something and you stand there and you wait for it. You want to see that plant grow up. And yet it doesn't seem to do anything. And it's dormant. We don't see even the shoot come up. But one day we're going to see a little shoot. But it's only little, you're going to say to me. Don't give up on it. Because one day it's going to grow a leaf, and then another, and then another. And then one day it's going to shock you. And you're going to look at it, and it's going to be full. And it's going to be large. It's going to take over the garden even. Why? Because you've been encouraging it. Don't give up on that which you've begun. The battle may be long. It may be a hard battle, but don't ever give up. As fathers, we need to remember things take time. A lot of things don't happen the way we would like them to be, and that's because we're not made for things to happen just like they should. Somehow, in the midst of things, it takes us a little longer. But it happens when we're waiting and we're patient. Jesus says to two men that he meets, Simon and Andrew, he says to them, follow me. There's a challenge in those words. What is it that will happen? What is waiting for us? These are questions that might happen. Jesus takes them to the in the right direction. He's taking them towards God, the Father. Jesus calls out to them. But then he calls out to others and he says to the others, follow me. You get the idea that being a father isn't just a physical characteristic. It isn't a genetic thing that happens in us. It's something that we can share with this world. It's something that happens to those we love and that we encourage along the way. But you have to ask, how do we get to the point where kids will want to follow us? That becomes the acid test, because there's no way that we can possibly do anything without them wanting to follow us. And isn't that truly what God wants us to do, to lead? Jesus calls to the others and says, follow me, to James and John. And it's a rare thing to be a real dad, to reach out and to encourage others in this world. You know, I was watching last Monday in this church building here. It was great because they had a piano recital. Nancy teaches piano here in this church on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. and she had her students do a recital. And so the room literally was full. There was barely an empty seat. And here she was up there introducing the kids, and they were coming up and playing their pieces, all, you know, cute girls with their hair done up and the pretty new dress, boys in clean clothes and shoes looking really awkward as they walk in these tough leather shoes, walking up and then sitting behind the piano, older ones too. And as she was doing that, I was standing at the back there handing out some bulletins and that of the people who were playing and things like that. It was such a joy to see moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, and everybody just gather there, neighbors and friends wanting to hear this little one play chopsticks. Right? Things like that. But the point is that it encourages them. And then they're excited about it. The next day I was talking to Nancy, and she was saying she was up here introducing to people, and the parking lot was absolutely full, right? And as she was doing that, she said she got nervous because she was watching and she could see a police car. In front of you, you can see cars come by, and down the side, she saw a police car slowly come by and then go down and around. And she says, oh no, there's trouble. Something's wrong. I've done something wrong. And she said to me, she confessed, I didn't know what to do. And I said, well, don't worry. I said, it was a dad. He couldn't find a place to park. Right? So he had to pull over somewhere on a lawn and run in and take a picture of his daughter playing the piano, wanting to encourage them. They go out of their way. Jesus went out of his way to come to this earth to encourage us to grow. Each and every one of us. Don't think of yourself just as a father or a mother. Think of yourself also as a child of God. And what God has been doing in you to bring you to this point. He's been encouraging you all the way along so that you could come into this house, so that you would find the joy and strength of God Almighty. This wonderful strength. Jesus says, he reaches out by saying, follow me. Why is it important that your children follow you? Because you make a real difference in their lives. You do make a real difference in your lives, in their lives. Several years ago, a team of psychologists wanted to study the effects of parenthood. Okay? They wanted to study the effects. And so what they did, they went back to the 18th century. And at that time, they took two men. Now, these men may have been exceptional by some standards, but listen to their lives, because they wanted to look not only at these men, but at their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, and so on, from that date. Two men, the first man they chose was Max Jukes. He had renounced Christianity. He chose a life of unprincipled behavior in his life, and of crime. And among his many, many descendants, listen to this, 440 of those lives lived a life of outrageous or outright debauchery. 310 paupers and vagrants, 190 prostitutes, 130 convicted criminals, 100 alcoholics, 60 habitual thieves, 55 victims of impurity. In other words, they lived a life feeling of shame and guilt. 7 murderers were among his number. Research estimated that the cost to the federal government in terms of residing over all these different things that happened to them was about $1.2 million. And that's when a dollar really meant a dollar, when it could buy so much. $1.2 million. It'd probably be close to $1 billion these days if these things were happening now. They chose as an alternative to this man, another man to look at, and his name was Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards is regarded as one of the most brilliant and influential men of American history. And what he did, in the fact that he was an exceptional preacher, theologian, and even worked as a college president, okay? The things that he did helped to influence America into the first spiritual awakening that they ever experienced. Now, listen to the relatives of this man at this time. It says here, of his prodigies here, progeny, 300 clergymen, missionaries, or theological professors, 120 college professors, 60 doctors, 60 authors, 30 judges, 14 college presidents, numerous giants of American industry, leaders, 3 U.S. congressmen, and even a vice president. What's that telling us? It's telling us a totally different world. You see, you have the option of being able to do anything in this world. But what you do is going to affect your children, their children, and their children's children, and so on, and down through the line. It's what you do. We want to decide to lead today, to lead our children, to lead our neighbors and our friends and those around us, maybe younger lives too, that are around us, because you're going to make a difference that's going to take them through eternity into a different life. And not just them, their children, their children's children. Do you really want to make an influence in this world, to make a difference in this world? Show them Jesus. Show them how they can have true life that can change them and make their life, their children's life, and onward, totally into a different world. That's why Jesus came and he said, "Follow me." But Jesus doesn't just give a command or to call out to people. Listen, he says here, and it's important because being a real father involves a higher vision for your child. You have to see beyond what you're just looking at. You have to see more that there is, that there's more potential there. See, Jesus, he went out and he called to them and he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." I will make you to become fishers of men. A great calling. He doesn't just call them. He gives them a vision of where they're going to go. Come with me. I'm going to do something exciting with you. I'm going to help you to get to somewhere great. And he leads them on so that they would become fishers of men. The key word, of course, to become. To come into existence. To come to pass. It isn't something that's just there. It's something that's nurtured and raised up and blessed. It's used of events to become, to raise up, to appear in history. That's what the Greek word talks about. Something great, to become. What do you want your children to be? How does it happen? How do we become fishers of men? Jesus will help you become a fishers of men. And young ones will grow into greatness when we go out and we seek them out and we build them up. Build up relationships with them first. That's a key ingredient here, because you can't expect someone to follow you unless you truly have built up a relationship with them so that they know you. Jesus, he came and he said, "Follow me." And if we look at that, we might say, well, okay, did Jesus really build up a relationship with them? He absolutely did. If we were to look in the book of Luke, and Luke 1 verse 3 tells us that he gives an orderly account, in other words, a sequential account of Jesus' life. It tells us in chapter 4 that Jesus was going about preaching and healing. And in fact, in Luke chapter 4, it tells us how Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law and he healed her. He lifted her up so that she could have the strength to stand again. Then in chapter 5, of the book of Luke, it recalls this specific moment in Mark chapter 1. And it tells us how he says to the disciples, follow me. He had a relationship with them. But know this, Jesus never forces someone to follow. He invites them to come. They have to want to come. And that's the only time that they will excel, is when they start to hunger for things, when they get excited about things. And to that we need to remember to want to encourage people in exciting ways, so that you can fan the flame. And it's going to take effort to do it. Yes, you might have to get up earlier. You might have to work a little harder at it. It doesn't come naturally. But listen, what you're building is something so great within that person. You have to realize that it doesn't just happen. If you go to a building and you look at the building, it might look pretty and strong, but they labored hard on the foundations. Because without the foundations being laid properly, that building goes quickly to ruin and will fall. You have to prepare it. And it takes a long time to dig down to bedrock, to make a solid foundation, to pour the concrete, to be to give much concerted effort in how you lay the walls so that they would be straight and thick and strong. But once you do that, what you lay upon that building, and if you've done that, you've already done a great thing. Now, as you build upon that wall, watch out. You watch what's going to happen. It's going to grow up, and it's going to grow up absolutely magnificent. Jesus calls them. And what does he do? He goes out and he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he finds others. And listen, when he finds those others, he invites them. James and John, he invited. And now this is where you can say, okay, wait a minute here. There's something going on here, because, yes, we're talking, this is Father's Day, right? And the scriptures tell us about Father's Day. But listen, when James and John go, we find that they have to leave their father. They have to leave their father. But isn't that the job of a parent? Isn't that our job? To train them up and then to let them go? Maybe to put it in more fisherman's term, we should say, leading is like doing catch and release when you're fishing. You catch their hearts for a little while and then you have to let them go so that they can mature. And when they do, they can catch others. Because of your example, every father has to prepare their child to go out that door. You have to do it, and you have to get excited about it. Because listen, there's a danger too. Listen to Proverbs chapter 17, and I'm looking at verse 10 for a second here. And here it says, I'm looking at verse 16. Why is there in the hands of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? What is it telling us? You can have wisdom, but if your child grows up so that he doesn't want wisdom, so that he doesn't hunger for it, he won't ever want to ask for it either. He won't seek it out in his life. And without that wisdom, especially the wisdom of God, they're going to go off somewhere and there's going to be a problem. They have to grow up to understand and appreciate the wisdom of God, to mature in a way so that they'll hunger after wisdom. Otherwise, they're going to stray. They're always going to stray because they won't want it. Yes, children stray because they tend to want to try limits. They tend to want and do things that are difficult or painful. Why don't we encourage them on the other side of that coin to find their challenges in good things and godly things and hard things that will test their souls and their strength so that they can grow strong in the Lord? Let us seek these things out. Yes, one day, prepared, they're going to go into the world but they need to be ready for it. And the only ones that are going to be able to help them are us. And yes, they may go and do foolish things, but listen, even in the midst of those foolish things, it may be a stepping stone to something greater as they grow and mature. That means we require patience. And how much more so when we look back in our lives and we think of our own parents who had to be patient with us. I'd like to say many of the things that my mother had to do, and she'd shake her head. I don't want to embarrass her. Maybe I don't want to embarrass me. Be more precise. But listen, you got to understand, patience is so very important. This morning, we've given you a special gift, and it's the Father's calling to be fishers of men. He's already given you that which you need. He's given you everything. He's asking you to take the rod in hand, to use it to pull the fish. In other words, to encourage your children and their children and their children's children on to great things. Men, you love a challenge. You love to do things that are hard. I'm calling on you today to do that, to reach out to your children, because you're never going to mold anything harder or stronger than a strong son or daughter. Ever in your whole life, seek that out as you seek God for His strength and wisdom. Let us close in a word of prayer. God, help us now with wisdom. Lord, you've given us words. Follow me. God, you've encouraged us along the way. Now, Lord, help us to use this wisdom, this strength that we have in you, to go forward and to continue to nurture and to raise up those around us to godliness, to strong lives, Lord, that will live in this world. God, we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.